Always know when people talk about explosions, there's always three types of explosions. Some said TNT is the best, some said dynamite is the best, but I've always been told that C3 was the greatest of all type of explosions. So at this time, we would like to present to you our beloved leading teacher, Chief Imam of the World Community of Al-Islam here in the West, the Honorable W.D. Muhammad.
We thank you. I bear witness openly that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone. There is nothing like unto him. And I bear witness openly that Muhammad is his slave servant and his messenger. Distinguished guests, our Imam of Cleveland, Imam Klein Rahman, all of our brothers and sisters, friends, I give you the greetings of peace, the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. First, I would like to thank Imam Klein Rahman and the Cleveland Masjid Amak for this invitation, and thank this audience for respecting us to come out and be in attendance. I would like to thank the Mayor Perks in the city for the high respect that they have given to us. Message to you, that is to the Bilalian people and to all the world, if they will listen, is the old message. It's not a new message. I haven't discovered anything new. I have discovered things that are old, and I have faith in those things because they have stood up down through the ages, and that is the truth. The truth that was revealed by Almighty God to his prophets. If you'll excuse me, I have to go in my pockets here for a couple of notes. It's a beautiful day here in Cleveland. I hope we get out of here early enough to drive around, walk around, see, enjoy the sunshine and the good weather here in Cleveland. But I think for right now, we're in a real good place. And I doubt if any of us would want to go out right now if we knew what was about to happen here. I would like to first read from the Quran. The Quran is the Muslim holy book, sacred book. And in the Quran, God says, Allah says, that this book, Revelation, contains the books that was revealed before. And these books have been revealed in their original form as guidance for the people. These are books that have been revealed before and made right by the guidance of God. The Quran also contains further guidance that was given to Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, about 1400 years ago, as guidance to complete the guidance that God had sent to his prophets down through the ages. So the Quran is not a new book. The Quran, in the Quran, God says, this is no newfangled message. This is no newly put together or written message. This is an old message. But it has been revealed in its pure form, and it has been completed for all humanity. I would like to read now the first chapter of the Quran, which is a prayer. It says, with the name Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the guardian evolver of all the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of requital. You alone do we worship, you alone do we beg for help. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom you bestow your grace. Those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Amen. If one listens to this first chapter, opening chapter of the Quran, understanding it to be the formal prayer, I would say the prayer for all occasions of the Muslims. Being Christian, you cannot help but hear the ring of the Lord's Prayer in this prayer. The Christians were taught to pray, O God, give us this day our daily bread. And they were taught to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. There is nothing in the Lord's Prayer and in the Fatiha, the opening of the Quran, that would make us feel that the one who's praying has any unclean or unacceptable motive. It is a beautiful prayer, both of them. The spirit is clean, clean spirit. The Muslims are not taught to pray that evil come upon those that they are competing with. We are not to pray for political dominance in the world or for material dominance in the world. We are to pray for goodness from God. We are to pray for righteousness from God. The Muslim wants righteousness on earth. The Muslim wants compassion in the hearts of people on this earth. The Muslim wants the light of righteousness to shine, and the light of good sense, common sense, the light of intelligence to shine. This is the light that the Muslim wants to shine and dominate the world. The Muslim is not trying to get himself in any political disposition of superiority over any people. Not the true Muslim. And the Muslim is not trying to collect the wealth and separate himself from some other people in some kind of selfish or wicked competition. God says to the Muslim in the Quran, compete with each other. He says, go as though in a race. So certainly we compete. But look how God has set the spirit of our competition and given guidelines for this competition to protect us from falling into wickedness. Almighty God says, race toward all that is good. And there are many things in this world that are not good. So the Muslim is not a competitor who is competing with others to gain things that are not good in the eyes of Almighty God. In the beginning, Almighty God classified that is right and that is wrong. That is right is submissive to his will, obedience to his will. That is wrong is that resists the will of Almighty God. If people resist righteousness, if they hate righteousness, then they are put into a classification called the wicked. But if they love righteousness and don't resist righteousness, or even if they don't love righteousness, if they respect righteousness to the extent that they don't resist righteousness when they are confronted with it, then they are in the classification of the good people. You see? And it is only those people who are so wicked, who have invested so much in crime, in lies, that they feel they have a kingdom to protect. It is only those people who fall out of the classification of the God-fearing. As long as we have respect for righteousness, though we be committing sin, we are not put in the classification of those people who are the enemies of Almighty God. Now, it was Almighty God who established these two classifications. And he said that only one is a real classification. The other is false, artificial. Why? Because what they establish themselves upon is unreal. Unrighteousness is unreal. Lies are unreal. Anything that can't find its origin in truth and reality is a falsehood and an artificiality. It's not real. The lies we tell are made of bits of truth, reformed to present a lie. We can't even lie unless we rob from the truth. So if I have to rob from the truth to tell a lie, that should tell lying me that my lies have no base in reality. All the righteous people down through the ages, they longed for and prayed for the day when the world will be so filled with the manifestations of truth that there won't be any room for the devil, for the liars, for the wicked people to hide. This was the prayer of the people down through the ages, that God will one day establish his truth, spread it so far and so wide and so thick that there just won't be any room, no cover for wicked people. Well, I firmly believe so much so that I step out of my doors fearing nothing. I firmly believe I firmly believe that this most troubled time that we live in is the most glorious time that this world has ever seen. What seems to us a world lost is actually a world reborn. You know, when you look at a store and you see it all puffed up there and filled with puff, oh, look at that nasty store. Bad shape. Man's in bad shape. But those who know about that particular kind of sore, they say, oh man, you're gonna be healed pretty soon. They realize that the sore has reached its terminal point. It can't go any further in that direction. The healing is at hand, is that right? Well, that's what we have lived to see. We have lived to see the healing of the world. Certainly there's a big ball and there's puff filling that big ball. But don't let that depress you. All praise is due to Allah. Victory is here for all of us. The Holy Quran says that God speaks in the plural. He says, we shall show them what it is that they have done. When all of these things are shown to us, those that have no understanding of God's great plan may think that, oh, it's hopeless. Look, all this filth out here. All of the crime out here. Don't look at the outer manifestations. Look at the scheme. Look at the history. And look at the inner manifestation. Certainly, I see people doing things that they never would do. Years ago, I see parents abandoning their duty to raise their children properly. I see children with no respect for father and mother. I see people with no faith in leadership and no faith in community life. And I see government leaders with no faith in the power to rule in their offices. But this doesn't sadden me. I'm happy as I can be. I thank Almighty God that I was born in this day and time. I don't believe there ever was a human being born at any other time put in a more healthier situation than I'm in right now. Certainly it looks sick. It looks sick, but just like that old soft puff, man, I'm telling you, it's healthy. The fever is gone. Pain's gone. It ain't nothing but something that looks ugly. If we can read the message, we'll see beauty, and with all the pain and fever gone, we should have a jubilation. You know, inside our own community, my people confuse me. They say, I wish I had the good old days. I can't understand what's going on. I said, what are they talking about? The good old days.
I don't know of any days that can come near matching these good new days. I don't have to have a brute force and a police club to get people to come and listen to the word of God. They come walking willingly on their own initiative. This is beautiful. I don't see people who are spending all that time talking about the devil, pork.
Don't eat that swine. You got to know the devil, the history of the devil.
You used to spend so much time on the history of the devil that we didn't have any time to learn about the history of the righteous. Put more importance on the eating of unclean flesh than on the eating of unclean spirits. Man condemning the unclean flesh, but inside was a piggish spirit. First, get the pig out of you. And once you get that kind of strength, the pig won't be any problem. Everything was just a weight on us. The pig. The white man is the devil. Every one of them. Old, gray, young, freshborn, all of them are devils. That was beautiful, it seemed, for a time. All of a sudden, we looked in the community and we discovered the place was half filled with devils and there weren't any white people in the place. So what happened here? Say, good God Almighty, we better open these doors to everybody. But I haven't been away from you. I know all of you. And I hear people whispering, teeth and taking everything away from us that we used to have. Well, I see sisters in here. They have their hair covered. They have nice dresses on like they used to wear. They look like the same people to me. They just look like better people. They look like more natural people. The sisters now, they look natural. They look, I'm telling you, they look like they're sitting in the ranks of the righteous in the heaven, in the paradise. He's taking our whole wheat bread from us. Well, I had whole wheat toast this morning. I didn't have to go to your place to get it. I had it at the airport. I ordered a whole wheat toast. He's eating three meals a day. He ate breakfast, he's eating three meals a day. I have never stopped eating one meal a day. I had toast this morning. I would like to have had something for noon too, you know, just a little bit. I'm not a big, very big eater. I don't get rid of that much energy. Not physical energy anyway. And I hope to have dinner this evening, too. And before I go to bed, I might have a little scoop of ice cream or something. You know, but Allah is my witness, I eat one meal a day.
is righteousness, and that's one meal. And I eat it from one God, not three. One. I eat one meal a day. Now, I think it's a great blessing to us that we have come into the understanding of things that was given to us symbolically. The symbolism is not as strong as the real meaning. The symbolism is there to preserve the real meaning. That's all it's there for. Once you discover the real meaning, you don't need the symbolism anymore. You go right to the real meaning. A Muslim is one who does not go to the extreme, who does not give himself to those things that God has prohibited. He lives a righteous life. He avoids the extreme. He does things in moderation under the law of God. This is a Muslim. So I don't have to eat one meal a day. That's not moderation. That's extremism. If I eat one meal a day and all the day I'm hungry, you come up to me and say, hey, brother, what's happening, brother? Oh, man, don't bother me. Hey, brother, explain this to me. You so hungry, you so bothered by hunger pains that you want to tell the man to get the hell out of your face. We couldn't even be happy with each other eating one meal a day. It was good exercise. Good exercise, because you had to force yourself to be right. It was a great burden trying to be right. Eat one meal a day. Most of you didn't do it. So you're carrying the guilt on you. I broke it. I'm gonna get this yet. Sister walk in and catch it. I knew you wasn't a good Muslim. It ain't time to eat. Okay. Don't want the good old days. Be thankful to Allah that we survived the good old days, so we can come into the good new days. That's the great lesson. The good old days was just what is this electric thing, the Prada, that they use on the cattle, you know, they just make it go, you know? A Prada. What do they call that thing? No, not the branding iron. The electric thing, you know, when the cattle won't go, they give it a little touch. You don't have to fire the bullet, you know, you just give them a little touch there. Something to shock you. Something to give you a little prick. You know, a little pinch, you know? Well, the first teachings of Honor Elijah Muhammad, those teachings were pinches-like. Pinches. Our sensitivity was all in the physical. So he pinched the skin, you know? Couldn't pinch the brains because they weren't working right. So he pinched the skin. Move, cattle. Move, cattle. Go in the corral. Eat this hay, you know? Eat this grass, you know? Pinch, pinch, you know? Drink out of this straw. All right. But now, you don't have to have that kind of direction or that kind of stimuli. We have lived to see many things happen in this world that have made it possible for us to educate our people properly. We have lived to see Bilalian people of Africa and the world come into a new sense of dignity and get respect from nations around the world. We have lived to see Caucasian people in America not only respect the dignity of Bilalian people, but enforce the law so that the dignity of Valerian people will not be taken away
in America
by other people. We have lived to see that. We have lived to see the President of the United States. We have lived to see governors and mayors put themselves in positions to be killed by narrow-minded, crazy racists to protect the God-given rights and the American-given rights of the Valerian people. And all of this to serve to make us confident, to encourage us and make us feel confident that we don't have to hide under symbolism. We don't have to escape this world to save ourselves. We can come out on Broad Street at noonday and discuss the problem and make some progress. We don't have to have boogeymen anymore. We can deal with plain, simple language. You know, when a people are deprived of the good uses of their senses, though they be in a highly advanced nation or civilization, they are primitive by description. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was wise enough to identify the primitive mentality of the so-called Negro. And he knew that you can't reach these people with straightforward common sense. You have to spook them up. You have to use boogeymen, witch doctor medicine, magic feather dusters and whatnot. I don't know what they call those things. They shake the witch doctor, he shake, you know. And the proof that you were of that kind of mentality is still with us. I put on a beard. A man that won't follow me around the corner put on a beard. I put on a round collar shirt. Man that haven't followed me halfway down the road, he'll put on a round collar shirt. If I put on earrings, big earrings in my ear, one in my nose, stick some through my lips, stick some needles through my hands, walk down the street barefooted, I guarantee you, you that's half following me will follow me all the way in that kind of symbolism. It's because you haven't yet realized that slavery is gone. The Emancipation Proclamation has been read and enforced. You still think you're a slave. Oh, I don't have no right to act like other people. I can't identify with America. Americans dress up like this, they eat like that, talk like that. I don't belong here. So you don't know any other language but English. So you invent yourself an artificial language that nobody can talk but you. And you feel good. You feel comfortable. I got my own language. You will even dress yourself so you look different than anybody else. I got my own dress. You know, it actually almost killed some of these people when I told them that the uniform doesn't make it. It's uniformity of mind and spirit that makes it. When I told these people that, it almost killed some of them. Because they had withdrawn so far back up into their private holes that it was terrifying to think about coming out in the sun, in the light of day. I can't make it. I'll kill him before he take my headpiece off. Give me my FOI suit or I'll kill somebody. You can have the suit. I got the fruit. Anybody challenge me and prove that the fruit I have is not the fruit of Islam. You wore the dress that only said fruit of Islam, but I got the fruit, man. He doesn't like black anymore. Open the doors, tell the white people to come in. Don't even want to call us black, call us Belalian. Well, I still call you black, too. But I see one that is black, and I have a need to refer to his skin color. I call him black. That's what he is. You can call me black, too, if you want to. But I think you have to look very close on me to find black. You can find it, but you have to look close. I got some black on me, I guarantee you that. I saw it this morning when I took my shower. Well, I look at many of you, and I don't think you got as much black as I saw this morning when I took my shower. But you hurt because I don't call you black. Black divides the people. That's not black, but a mixture of black, brown, yellow, red, and some of you even almost white. It divides you. You say you're black? I come up with more black than you? You should step behind me. If black is supreme, right? If black is superior, I come up with more black on my skin than yours. And if my hair is twisted a little more tighter than yours, I think you ought to get behind me. Right? But that wasn't the case. That wasn't the situation in the world community of Islam under the honorable Elijah Muhammad. The honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't give any special favors to anybody because they were black. Because their hair was a little tighter than the others. He himself was brown, and his hair was medium nap. And you never said, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if black is supreme, then how come Allah chose you and didn't choose me? I'm blacker and more original looking. You look more Caucasian. We didn't argue about those things then. We accepted. But when you answer the change, then you want to make everything literal. Nothing was symbolic. He meant everything he said. When he said white people are devils, he meant all white people are devils. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me, I don't know where you were, and a whole lot of people I know, I don't know where you were, that the wife, pardon me, the mother of Master Farrar was a white woman. And if anybody in his presence called her a devil, they were in trouble. They were on the way out of the community, out of the Nation of Islam, as it was called then, you see. And you know, in the last years of his mission, he said, Muhammad, the white man. that Prophet Muhammad was a white man. Now, if you want to say that, well, Prophet Elijah Muhammad was telling us, don't follow Prophet Muhammad. He's a devil. God forbid. Let's use what he said about the mother of the man that some of you want to keep following, Master Father Muhammad. He said his mother was a Caucasian, a white woman. Was he telling us that the mother was a devil? No. Almighty God says that, in the words of the scripture, I will publish my name myself. That has far-reaching meaning. God means that you may take up the work, but I watch over my work. Marcus Garvey came. He tried calling the people to blackness and to religion. One God, one destiny, one color, one Africa. Is that right? Drew Ali, Noble Drew Ali, another Bilalian brother, he came up and he preached the glory of the Moors. And he taught American so-called Negroes, Bilalian people, that we were all Asians. Asians. He said we were Asiatic. Master Farrar came behind him, and Marcus Garvey. And he taught blackness too, black supremacy. And he taught, as Noble Drew Ali taught, that we were Asiatics. How many were here from the old days? How many is here from the 50s and 40s? Stand. I want to see those who were here in the 50s and 40s. All right. These people, all right, you may be seated now. You see, there's a number of people still here from the 50s and 40s. These people know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that that we were Asiatic. Asiatic. So when the 1960 mentality came in, wanting to identify with the Afro and everything, they met with criticism from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said, you won't have any Afro in here. The Afro wasn't allowed. Why? Because he didn't like Afro look or the African people? No. It was because he saw that his program, his plan for the future of his people was being threatened by a new kind of mentality. Marcus Garvey said, back to Africa. Noble Drew Ali had said Asia. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was taught by Master Farrar to say Asiatic. Because Africa was a problem. Africa had been established in our minds as a place that was savage, undeveloped, backwards. So if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teach our people to be Africans, African-American, he knows he's going to have a problem from a primitive mentality. They're not going to start there and move up. They're going to grab the concrete thing, the physical thing, wear the afro. Some will wear an earring, some will wear a bone, sandals. I don't know what they call that stuff. I know we used to get beans about 100 pounds, thought they'd last longer. Bad times. Bean sack rolls, you know. I don't know what they call that stuff. Sack rolls. Gunny sack roll. Do you know I saw a brother in Chicago and the dead winter? I think it was just about 5 above 0 with some desert robes on, sandals, open sandals, feet out in all that snow and cold ice. And he was just as happy as he could be. He said, when I met him, he said, Assalamu alaikum, brother. I said, Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah. He said, are you going with us on the, what they call it then? I forget what they call it. It wasn't a Hajj, but it was a trip that they make. I forget the name of it.